While the site director was making his way down the corridor that led to the Axis hub, he questioned aloud. How long has he been out there?
In the neighborhood of 3 hours.
Sir. His assistant anxiously shuffled her papers as she responded to his question. We debated whether or not to shoot him, but in the end, we reasoned that if he traveled all the way to the gate of Site 19, just to stand outside and yell, he can't be that much of a threat.
A delayed nod was given by the site director.
In the past, he had to deal with people trying to get into his home, but a man shouting his head off at the front gate was a whole new experience for him. In the event that everything goes according to plan, they will be able to erase his memory, send him on his way, and return to their lunch in only 10 minutes. In such case, he would just give the idiotic bastard an order to have his face shot off and be done with the situation. In either case, the issue at hand would be resolved. The two travelers reached the massive metal wall that acted as the entrance to the site's blast door. Even if they were able to avoid being shot by the snipers and avoid getting shocked by the electric fencing, anyone who attempted to break in would be halted in their tracks. A deranged individual could be seen standing just beyond it, a distance of merely 2 meters away. The on-duty security guard muttered, "Just a moment, sir," as he punched in the pin to unlock the blast door. "Just a second." A sound quite similar to it was heard coming from behind them at the same time that the enormous groaning sound of sliding metal emanated from the blast door in front of them. No insane person, regardless of how safe they could be, was worth the possibility of a containment breach. As the blast door gained up speed and opened more quickly, a little sliver of light dropped over the site director and his assistant. The shadows cast by the lower outside walls of Site 19 spread out across the dry and dusty terrain. One could get a glimpse of the modest electric fences and the expansive desert beyond them in the distance. The site director, on the other hand, was familiar with everything that was going on. The hunched-over individual who was making rapid progress toward the two people was what worried him the most. "Do you have any idea, dude, how long I was standing out there? Do you have any notion how long I was standing out there?" suddenly he yelled, flailing his arms around violently. "I mean, the middle of summer is in full swing out there. For God's sake, it cost me something like $800 to travel out here, and you guys just leave me standing in the middle of the desert at noon when it's the middle of July. Crap. Guy." The site director examined the individual who appeared to be in poor health. He had a long, scraggly beard that stretched down to his stomach, and his dark brown hair appeared as though it hadn't been combed in weeks. His beard reached down to his stomach. His eyes darted erratically from one place to another as he surveyed the site director as well as the armed guards who were standing at the ready. His attire consisted of little more than a drenched white t-shirt and a pair of tattered pants, and he wore nothing on his feet. Worst of all, the site director could only describe the odor that was coming from him as that of rotten corn, because it was the most offensive smell he could think of. He began, slightly gagging on the fragrance of the other man, "What?" and said, "What do you want?"
"They tried to get in touch with you through the mail, but they never received a response from you. So they sent me out here to talk to you in person. Inconvenient to the nth degree if you ask me, but..."
The director, who was becoming increasingly irritated with the individual, added, "We destroy all unsourced letters and erase suspicious emails. Can you just tell me why you're here?"
"Guys, I'm here to officially declare war on all of you." The person who smelled awful yelled while he was leaping up and down and made small punching motions with his fists. "We heard about this one gang of guys with a name that is similar to yours who were kind of irritated off that you got in their way. You know what I mean. After getting together with the other members of the team, I came up with the following plan. Hey, our name is similar too, and we think that you guys have been crapping on our ambitions as well, so we're going to go to war with them."
The man appeared to be exaggerating his performance by kicking his legs around and making a number of screeches of a very high pitch. The site director rubbed his chin and hoped the brightness from his glasses would conceal the fact that he was rolling his eyes as he muttered, "I see. And in what way have we been acting unfairly toward you?"
The man who hadn't been bathed grew still and quiet. "Well, that's not really anything that any of us have worked out just yet. It was more of a whim than anything else, if that makes any sense. We got as far as the similar names stuff before we launched our fuck these people campaign against the other party." His eyes brightened, and he resumed bobbing up and down in the same manner. "On the other hand, we'll work it out. You people must have been holding back some information from us in some way. Thus, we have gathered here to launch an offensive on its CP Foundation.
The director of the construction site was doing everything in his power to keep from covering his face with his hands. What exactly is the name of the organization that you run?
They are acting like complete chipmunks.
It is quite clear that the effort to keep one's hands and face apart was a fruitless one. The site director's body trembled uncontrollably as he took a few labored, deep breaths in the middle of his panic attack. Both his assistant and the psychotic patient stared at him, unsure of what to make of the situation. After what seemed like an eternity, he finally took his hands away, took a deep breath, adjusted his tie, and began speaking.
"No, no, no. I will not accept it, and I will not accept this under any circumstances. Yeah, I get it. I know how people can misspell it like that. And I get how you can get all, oh, that's punching sharks, lol.
When you hear it, I get it. But no, I'm not doing it. I've made up my mind that I won't be participating in the PC organization in any way.
Do you have any idea?" he asked, trying not to shout.
"Any idea at all? Exactly how much trouble the Shark Punching Center has given us?
Do you have any idea at all? We have invested much too many resources into simply making them disappear. And in the past week alone, we have lost something in the range of 6 or 7 different versions of Bright due to brain aneurysms. It's not worth my time to truly interact with crazy people like you because you cause too much difficulty."
"Just stating. Get away," was his response.
"You won't find yourself behind bars, having your memory wiped, or even dead on arrival if I have anything to say about it. It's a lot of trouble for something that we shouldn't even have to be dealing with in the first place. Just leave this place immediately, get back to your healthy shitting or whatever else it is that you do, and don't show your stinking face around here ever again. Do you understand what I'm saying?"
"But," growling, the psych director said, "before I change my mind."
The depraved psychopath blinked once before turning and running out into the desert, where he will hopefully never be found again. The site director motioned with his palm for the security guy to shut the blast door as he gave the instruction. He heaved a sigh and beckoned to Lucy.
"Come on, Lucy. Let's get back to the cafeteria."
At the precise instant, another person came rushing up to the entryway, appearing just as crazy and disheveled as the one who had just left.
"Now wait just a minute," he cried.
"I've spent the past 2 weeks looking for you, and the People's Coconut Society will not be—"
The man was yelled at by the psych director, who spat the phrase, "fuck off," before slamming the blast door in his face.